Today, we're going to begin a two-part series, a season of gratitude, that is, giving thanks in all circumstances. Particularly today, the lesson is going to be coming from Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Encourage you to open your Bibles there. As you're doing that, I have asked Jenna Cayley to assist me this morning, and Jenna's going to come on up. Now, your responsibility this morning is to support Jenna in this kind of reciprocal reading we're going to be doing, okay? I'm going to be reading from Psalm 136, and as I do that, you're going to find a phrase that's going to come up 27 times. Are you ready for this? And the phrase is this: His love endures forever. Now, Jenna will be leading you in that, and when she reads that, you are going to read it too, right? Every time. So when I pause, Jenna will lead you. Are you ready? Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To Him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by His understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To Him who led His people through the desert.
His love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Sihon, the king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to His servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
And He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jenna. Give Jenna a hand. Thank you, Jenna, for leading us in that section. Now listen, those of you who said, you know, I can't memorize Scripture, if you got that, you've got half of Psalm 136. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. The bookends of the psalm are give thanks to the Lord and give thanks to the God of heaven. So you would think the theme would be what? Give thanks. Give thanks. Express gratitude. Show expressions of thanksgiving to the God of heaven. But what do you suppose the primary reason for doing that is in the psalm? I'll just take a guess. What would that be? That must be it, huh?
Yes.
The reason that he says we're to praise God and give thanks to God is because His love endures forever. Now, you know what? Those words we read, those verses that we recited together, reminds me of a song we sang earlier today. Now, once again, God is just amazing how He does. I did not confer with them about what songs to choose for today. Matter of fact, when that program was submitted, I hadn't even really worked out what I was going to be preaching on. And really, when I decided this and then looked back at the program, it was like, huh, God is good. His love endures forever. You know, amazing. Now, the first 9 verses of the text we looked at, it should be pretty easy for us to identify and see God's love. The passage clearly says that His love endures in what He has made. That's a very important thing. His love endures, right, in what He has made. That what He has made, what He has created, is evidence, right, of His enduring love. He made the heavens. He made the earth. He made the seas. He made the sun. He made the moon to govern the day and night. The resounding declaration over and over and over again is what? This is proof that His love endures forever. His motivation for creating all this was what? His love, which endures forever. He wanted us to be able to look around us and be reminded that God loves us. And it's not a love that's conditional or wavering or it's here today and gone tomorrow, right? His love endures forever. Love for who? Well, for us. For us. For you and me. He created all this for us. But for us to see and then be reminded that His love endures forever. It may have lost some of its luster because of man's sin and neglect, but the traces of God's love are still plain enough to see for those who will look to see it. Amen? Now, this morning, maybe some of the beautiful fall flowers and the colors are fading and falling, and we have the fresh snow. And how many of you thought when you saw the snow this morning, His love endures forever? You know what, though? You should have. Maybe looked and said, look at the fresh snow. You know how it covers the mud and the dirt and the muck. You know, look, His love endures forever. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's not here only when the sun's shining and when the colors are bright, but His love, and there's a reminder of it all around, if we look, right, that endures forever. If you look around, you won't be able to help but see that. The other week, I was traveling back from Durand after making a visit there. If you cross 75 there, coming from Durand, you're on, I think it's Trask Bridge Road. There's a little nature observatory, a wildlife observatory off to the right. And I've driven by it many times, but I got a call from my secretary just about that time, and I didn't have the Bluetooth on, so I just kind of pulled off the road there to check the phone. And as I did that, I looked up, you know, and thought, boy, this is very peaceful and nice. There were geese there, you know. There were some ducks flying by. And then I looked and I saw a buck. And I'm always fascinated by deer. You know, I said, wow. So I look and this buck made its way down. And it knelt down in the tall grass where its antlers, where its rack was just barely sticking, you know, above the... And I watched, you know, and I'm watching. And I was like, come on, get up. I want to see you some more. I want to see. So I'm so focused on that. I actually got out my phone again, and I got out the camera. And I did the zoom thing, you know, and I'm wanting to get a shot of this buck, you know, when it raises up. So finally, I did take a couple shots, and I looked at the photographs, and I thought, boy, it's not clear enough. You really can't even tell what's there. But I saw it. I saw it. Got home and was showing it to somebody, and you know what I didn't see? I was so focused on trying to see that buck, I didn't see the doe. There was some doe, you know, moving along the back, and I got those. You ever do that? You ever get so focused on one thing, you miss other things? Let's not be so focused on what's wrong with the world or trying to see what is not clear that we miss what is clear. God's love endures forever. Amen? Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to Him this morning for that. Give Him thanks. Express your gratitude for that. Now, the next several verses, verses 10 through 20, it might not be quite so easy to see God's love in and his mighty acts of deliverance, but they are there. David cites specifically God's rescue of his children from Egypt and his protection of them as he led them through the wilderness. God, that's what David cites. That's what he's inspired to hold up as an example. Yet, unless you were one of the Israelites, you were the ones that were being rescued, delivered, you might have had a little of a bit of a hard time seeing God's love in it. If you were Pharaoh and the Egyptians, right, and the enemies of God, you might not have so clearly seen what was going on as God's love. You understand what I'm saying? You might have had trouble perceiving that. Having said that, notice God didn't merely slap the wrists of the enemies of his children. He destroyed them. And every bit of that, after every phrase of what he did, what did it say? His love endures forever. Now, the atheist will have a field day with this. You mean God is so loving that he destroyed people? Kings, armies, women, and children? God is so loving that he destroyed people? Where's love in that? Maybe you've heard that kind of thing, right? You want to tell me that's a loving God? Yes, it is. Those who threatened his children, a loving God protected and delivered them. Imagine this for a moment. Heaven forbid this should happen to you, but sadly, it's becoming too common in Rockford and the surrounding areas. But heaven forbid that you should suffer a home invasion. That someone would break into your house in the middle of the night with the intention to do you and your family harm. I pray that doesn't happen. But if it did, what would be the loving thing for you to do? Well, to try to reason with them, right? Let's have a negotiation, right? Let's talk this through. Don't do this thing. Now, you could do that. And many people say that would be the loving thing to do. Anything less than that would not be loving. Right? Now, you could do that. The very worst that could happen is they're going to kill you before they move on to your family. Now that they're defenseless, that would be the very worst that could happen, right? Be thankful that your Father in heaven loves you so much that he would protect you. And he would take anyone out who would threaten to harm you. That's what the text is saying, right? His love endures for who? For his children. That he would protect his children. And he would do whatever it takes to protect and deliver his children. I can't say how many times God has rescued you, delivered you in your life. We may not know this side of heaven how many times he's intervened and saved us from our enemy. Be that enemy sickness or injury, embarrassment, humiliation, or death. Don't know. We may never know. Not that long ago, in the city of South Lyon, Michigan, where Nine and I lived before for 10 years and I pastored a church there, a member of the church there let us know that they had a home invasion. That they woke up one morning and walked into their daughter's bedroom, and there was a stranger laying in that bed. A man laying in their daughter's bed. Thankfully, at some time during the night, daughter got up and got in bed with mom and daddy. Thankfully, and we still know all the story, but the man came in. What his intentions were, no one knows, but he passed out before he did anything. Now you may think, wow, how lucky I praise God for his deliverance and protection, and so have they been. And the little girl is still traumatized. They're still not sure at what point she get up because she heard noises in the house? Is that what got her? I don't know. But praise God for their deliverance and protection. No one was hurt. No one was hurt. Praise God. I know this. If God never intervened again to rescue us, protect us from anything, the fact that he sent his son Jesus to rescue us from the hands of Satan should be proof enough, right, that he's our deliverer, he's our defender, and his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. He is good. His love endures forever. If you ever doubt that for a moment, remember he sent Jesus to rescue you, deliver you, to bring you safe into his arms forever and ever. He is good, and his love endures forever. Now, interesting enough, in the context as well, and this is just one of the sides where people don't always see God's love in things. It tells us in the text, God is good and he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. God gives food to every creature. We say grace, right? We express gratitude before we eat. I pray that we do, and we remember that. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 that a loving God feeds the ravens, who happen to be carnivores. Okay? Who does that? Once you chew on that a while, okay? Pun intended. And the point Jesus is making is that he will certainly take care of you. Right? His children, if he takes care of the ravens. Now, I was sharing with the men's class the other night, on Wednesday night, that in that scenario, the worm may have a hard time believing God's love endures forever. But the raven is more like rock and robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Right? His love endures. And not everything we see are we always going to be able to see God's love in it, but if we understand that God loves us and everything that's happening, it's because he has a great love for his children. Even in the midst of tragedy, if we can remember that, his love endures forever. God hasn't stopped loving me because something's going wrong or because I don't see his love clearly. Doesn't mean that he stopped loving me. His love endures how long? Forever. Forever. The evidence of God's love endures throughout the generations. And once again, clearly visible to those who are open to see it. His love endures forever. The last section here tells us that God's love endures in our inheritance. Now the context specifically refers to the holy lands that God promised to his people after they crossed the Jordan, that land of milk and honey. That was promised them. That land was their inheritance, that they were to have it as their possession. Yet, because of their rebellion, we studied a lot of that in the Old Testament, going through Jeremiah, Nehemiah, other passages that we've studied, that they sometimes lost possession of it, at least temporarily, because of their failure to hold on to God. I want you to hold on to that thought. They lost the possession, the inheritance of the land when they lost sight of a greater inheritance. Something far more significant. Now God was always faithful to return the land to them until they rebelled again, and then they would lose it again. But always they would lose it after they lost sight of the real inheritance, what really mattered. You see, God has always had more in store for his children than a physical place with physical borders and boundaries. The inheritance he provides is an eternal kingdom. Well, we're talking about heaven then, right? Well, yes and no. That is, no, if we limit it to that. Because God's kingdom is neither reserved to a piece of property on earth or a home in the clouds. God's kingdom is broader. God's kingdom is spiritual. And it's tied into not a place, but a person. And our relationship with that person. With God Himself. David understood the concept more than we might think after Psalm 136, not long after Psalm 142. We read this in verse 5. He says, I cry out to you, Lord, and I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now David, being from the tribe of Judah, would have had some rights to some properties, part of the land that was promised. His tribe, his people, would have had some right to that. Maybe even as the king, he might have thought at times, he might have had to fight against the idea that, well, you know what, all of this is mine, you know, as the king to command and to oversee and try to keep the right perspective, that really wasn't his land, though. The land was divided among the peoples. But here he says, it's not a portion of land, but a portion in the land, right, that he is focused on. What is it? Or should I say, who is it? It's the Lord. He's my refuge. He's my portion in this land. He's my portion. In Luke 17:20-21, Jesus has this to say. After being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he replied and he said this, the kingdom of God comes not with your careful observation, nor will people say, well, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Some translations would say the kingdom of God is among you, because the Greek word could be rendered either way. But the concept is that the kingdom of God is not some kind of physical place upon this earth that God is most focused on. Matters little when we start debating about, you know, the physical boundaries of God's kingdom. We need to understand that God's kingdom is really about a relationship with Him. More than anything, the kingdom of God has to do with a relationship with the king, see, not with the property. And the king was standing right there in their midst. And if he was saying, the kingdom of God is among you, he was saying, here I am. If he was saying, the kingdom of God is within you, he was saying, as much as you accept me as your king, the kingdom takes root in your heart. Question for you. Is Jesus among us right now? Is the king present? Is he within you? Is he taking up residence? Have you given him the throne? If so, do you realize how blessed you are? Do you realize how blessed you are that the king would take up residence in your heart? That the king would love you so much that he would come and clean house, move in, and promise to stay with you well, until things go south. No. Forever. Lord's good. Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures. Forever. Our inheritance, a portion. It's Him. It's Him. The Lord God said in Ezekiel 44, verse 28, this. He says, I'm to be the only inheritance the priests have. You're to give them no possession in Israel. What's he talking about? No land. See, the Levites, the priesthood, they didn't get any land. They didn't get a portion of land. Poor are, guys. Tell you what, they really got shortchanged, didn't they? They really missed out those poor priests. Oh, but he didn't stop there. He said, I will be their possession. Pardon me? I'm not going to give them property. I'm giving them myself. Huh. Now, I got a question for you. Here's another question. Let's sink in. If you were them, would you be disappointed to hear that? I don't get a physical piece of no deed with my name on it. But God, you're giving me a birth certificate identifying me as your child. Which would you rather have? Which would you focus on? Which matters most? According to 1 Peter 2:9, we are a kingdom of priests. Listen closely. Well, you can read it too. It says, you are a chosen people. Who's he talking to? Well, God's people, God's children, the church. He says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to who? God. That you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, wait a minute. We belong to God, but if we're a priesthood, and the priests have what allotment? What do we have him as our possession. So, let's see. He is mine and I am his? He is mine and I am his? Wow. And we live in this kingdom of light, you see that? Out of darkness into marvelous light? Wonderful light, where love and joy and peace are as freely available as the air we breathe. Wow. Let's see, now what was that psalm about? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How many of you believe he's good? And why can we say that? Well, we say, God, you're good. Some of the time, most of the time, once in a while, give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His love endures forever. Forever. God's not some human with human failings. He even says that, where he changes his mind at a whim. Or where he loves one day and not the next. Or he loves because we're good, but you know, when we mess up, well, I don't love you anymore. No, that's not, his love endures forever. I pray that God will open the eyes of our heart to fully comprehend that truth. I'm convinced if we get hold of that, we're going to understand that every season is a season for gratitude. Right? Because, again, it's not like, well, we'll thank him today because he loves me. But what about tomorrow? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love endures forever. Praise team, come on up front. We're going to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And seems fitting. Because that's what we need. We need for God to open our eyes to see, first and foremost, his love. His love. His enduring love. Evidence all around us. But sometimes we need our eyes opened. And we're not talking about these eyes. But the eyes of our heart. If you have not accepted the love of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ, we want to offer you that opportunity when we sing this. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, there's no time like the present. If you haven't confessed Him publicly and been united with Him in baptism, no day like today to do that. And we're here to assist you with that. Let's stand and sing. If we can assist you with those things, then please come up and acknowledge that. We're here for you.